This is a Hope 103.2 production. Thanks for listening.
Joanne Bertelsen, thank you very much for joining us on Hope Mornings.
That's fine. Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Joanne, do you think that the rest of us don't think enough about the power, the weight, the impact of our words?
I think that's quite true. What my book is trying to get us all to think about is just to take that little pause before that hasty word comes out of our mouth, or the angry word, or the justifying word, or whatever, just to take that moment to listen to God, to see, you know, is there something I need to not say, or some different way I can say it? So I think it's a challenge for all of us, really.
And Joanne, part of what Swan Song is about is not only considering what our words do in the moment, but you're also encouraging us to consider the lasting impact, the legacy of our words.
Yes, that's right, because the subtitle of my book is Start Creating Your Legacy of Life-Giving Words Today. We've been in ministry a long time. Over the years in that sphere, we've certainly seen the impact that words can make, not in just in the moment, but over a period of time. And even just recently, I heard someone say, oh, I don't go to church anymore because someone said this to me, and it happens to have been about 50 years ago. But that's just the way we are, that sometimes words cut so deeply that it's really hard for them to budge from our brain. And so I'm trying in this book to show that, now, if we're more careful now, I know I want to get to the end of my life and be able to look back and realise that I don't want to have to say then, oh, I should have forgiven that person. I should have spoken out those words of encouragement to that person. Maybe they could have gone on a different road in their life. I want to look and think, no, I did my best to speak words that built others up rather than tear down, that gave them life, rather than that might have turned them off God. So, that's what my book tries to gently challenge us all to do.
Why don't we take opportunities, whether it's in a church setting or wherever we are in life, in family, work, with our friends, why don't we give that word of encouragement? Why don't we ask for forgiveness? Why?
Probably multiple reasons, but, well, I think we can often be such a self-centered lot too, looking after our own backyard and wanting to justify ourselves. But and then sometimes just in the busyness of life, we don't notice other people. We don't see the impact our words are making. And sometimes I plain think it's we're letting the enemy rather than God control what we say too.
What's a good place to start, Joanne, do you think, when it comes to picking my words more carefully or taking the opportunity to share more encouraging words?
For me, I stop and listen to God. I want my life to honour God. And so that's the first point. In the book, I'm challenging us to leave this legacy. I'm also challenging us to look at the way God has spoken to us through Scripture and directly into our hearts sometimes, and the way other people have built us up in our lives too. If we look at the way God has spoken to us with such love and such mercy and forgiveness and all of these chapters I have in my book, encouragement, affirmation, and challenge, forgiveness, comfort, peace, mercy, wisdom, insight, humility, and love, if we immerse ourselves in that, and then for me also reflect on the people who've built into my life in positive ways, and then realise that that is what we're called to pass on to someone else, and by God's Spirit to ask Him to allow that mercy and grace and love and so on to flow through the words that we speak. So for me, it's staying connected with God, but also just looking back and realising, oh, those people, they sent me on such a journey. I have many examples in my book of both positive and negative words that have been spoken to my life, into our children's life and our grandchildren's life even. Just seeing the impact that made and thinking, oh, I'd like to help someone else that way, the positive way that helped me, or I don't want to do that to someone else. Perhaps an example might just help.
Please.
The moment here. One in my book, and it's a horrible negative one, is In the house where we used to live, there was a man who was the house husband. He stayed home with his little boy. And in my kitchen, I used to be able to hear him absolutely yelling and shouting at this little boy. And one day I heard him say, yell at the top of his voice to this little boy, something like, "Ah, oh, you're just such a horrible, horrible kid. You're so disgusting. You're such an idiot." And it just went on and on. It was this rant. And it almost made me feel ill, makes me feel ill even to think of it now. And I remember thinking, you know, imagine growing up with that just pounding in your head. And we watched that child grow up into a very surly young man who ended up in lots of trouble. Now, there's probably other issues involved too. But, you know, you look at that and you think, I do not want to do that to someone else. So, you know, contrast that to the many positive words I've had in my life, you know, even little things. I had a lovely mentor or soul friend. My first nonfiction book was called Soul Friend. It was about our journey together. And just the little things. We started meeting when I went to theological college in my late 40s. And she just enabled me to believe I could do the things that I was doing at that stage of my life. And when I started my writing journey, that was only 20 years ago. It's been a late in life journey for me. She would say to me, "Oh, I think it's wonderful what you're doing." I'd say to her, "Oh, Joy, is this how you write? Is this okay?" Because I didn't know what I was doing. But even just those little words like, "Oh, I think it's wonderful. Keep going." So that's the difference words can make. And so I think that's what you have to remember.
I'm quite struck, Joanne, by how you're anchoring a lot of this in the way that God has communicated with us in his word, through the word, and the way in which you've come to understand almost the emotion, the feeling, and the motivation behind the way God communicates with us. But I don't think necessarily everybody feels that way about God. People will sometimes think of God more in the negative, like judgment,
right,
and wrath and anger and disappointment and fury and all these kind of words. But all the chapters that you listed off in your book, all the lovely terms, love, compassion, mercy, you see those much more vividly, prominently, and definingly when it comes to the way God communicates with us and then the way we communicate with each other.
Yes, that's right. But I do have a chapter in my book called Words of Challenge as well, because, you know, when God does speak like that, it's still in love. He's challenging us in love. And I have examples of that. And some of the most telling things people have said to me were actually challenges, but they spurred me on. So, yes, I can understand your question, and that's right. But yes, I think challenging, you can challenge, but do it in love, is my point. This is just a little example, and nothing like the way God speaks to us, but just a little example was years back, someone at another church asked me to take on a specific role in the church. And I said to this pastor, I said, "Oh, I don't think I could do that. Basically, ask someone else." And gave all these excuses as to why I couldn't do it. And he just stood up really straight and stared straight at me. And he said to me, "That's not humility. That's self-protection." And it could have sounded harsh. It sounded harsh.
Sounds a little bit harsh.
He was embarrassed later, and he's embarrassed every time I tell that story. But you know, it's made me sit back and think, oh, I am protecting myself. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want people to criticize me. And so I wouldn't try new things. And that caused me to step out. And I took on that role in our church. And from there, it just went on and on. And in the end, I went to theological college and became part of our pastoral team. And I think if that man had not challenged me that day, that may never have happened. I think we have to see the challenge and the hard things in the context of love as well.
And Joanne, none of us will be able to see the legacy we leave behind with our words. But what do you think all of us should hope for in the legacy we leave with the words that we leave behind?
I would hope that somehow we've just drawn others closer to God, that we've given them some picture of God that has caused their eyes to see that God is so loving and is reaching out in mercy to each one of us, whatever our journeys have been, however hard they are, that we have given them some glimpse of that fragrance of God and that aroma of God that the Bible talks about. See, all of these things I've listed here are what Jesus spoke about when he was here on earth, you know. And so this really is the gospel, the affirmation, the challenge, the forgiveness, the comfort, all of that. And so it's part of our wanting to others to know who God is. And so I just hope that it's, you know, brings more people into the kingdom, that people can see that God truly is this loving God who loves the world, that Jesus died for us. So that's my aim in writing, to just draw people closer to God, really.